We are so glad you've joined us today for our Tuesday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we are continuing our study in Exodus, so let's listen in now to Pastor Dave.
Soon your trials will be over.
And so you do not get to enforce these laws. Because to enforce those laws meant that you're living the way that you're supposed to before God as a nation, and you're not. And so now you can't do this. You can't do this. And so as they're testing him, they might have something in which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. And they continued asking him. He raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." Look, you don't have the right to be able to say who lives and who dies. That was taken away from you. And you don't even have a nation with borders anymore. It now belongs to Rome. You're allowed to exist and kind of do your religion under them, okay? But you don't get to exact laws anymore, all right? You don't get to do that. So let's kind of take care of it this way. Yeah, we have a sinner there. But you know who brought her to me? A sinner. And so he breaks it all down. He says, okay, those of you without sin, cast the first stone. I personally believe when he says that, what he is saying is that, you know, some of you that brought her to me, your sin is that you were with her. So if you're without sin, cast the first stone. Well, everybody knows that your sinner conviction takes over. And again, he stoops down on the ground to write, down and wrote on the ground. And those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you." Jesus did not come to judge, but to save. When he comes the next time, he will judge. Okay? Go and sin no more. It's still sin. No, we don't punish any more of an adulterer by executing him. We don't do that anymore. Well, why do we do that with murder? Because that was given before the law was given. That's why. That's why. And it continues even after the law of Moses. It even continues in the church, itself. Go over here to Romans chapter 13. This is certainly after Jesus died, rose from the dead. The church age has begun. Paul's an incredible apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have him say in Romans 13 that there is a governing authority that can execute for murder. And here he says in Romans 13, verses 1, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. The rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you'll have praise from the same." But look what it says in verse 4. "For he," meaning the government, the governing authorities, "is God's minister to you for good. For if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not," the government, the civil authority, "does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger," there's that language, Paul trying to attach that back to the Old Testament there, "to execute wrath on him who practices evil." So three things to notice here. To bear the sword, that speaks of capital punishment. That speaks of death. The sword speaks of death and taking someone's life. The word sword, is when it's used literally, always speaks of death. God is the one who gives government authority to carry out capital punishment. Third thing we notice, avenger is the Old Testament language Paul uses that brings you back to Exodus, Numbers, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Okay, it's in all of that. All right. In other words, Paul's saying that after the old covenant of the law of Moses, after Jesus has established the church, the new covenant, governments still play a role of implementing capital punishment. They bear the sword, and they alone are the ones that can do that. Now, go back here to chapter 12 of Romans, just right before Romans 13:1. Notice what it says in verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Don't take personal vengeance. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. That's what Jesus was trying to say there in chapter 5. When he said, if somebody wants your tuna, give them your cloak also. If somebody asks you to go a mile, go the extra mile, go the second mile. You know, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge. There's that language again, the avenger. You don't need to be the avenger for yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Leave it up to the courts. Let the judges decide. Okay? Because vengeance is mine, I will repay. How does God repay vengeance on your behalf? Through the court system. That's how, through the court system. But it was wrong, as the verdict came out, it was wrong. Okay, you still give it over to the Lord. Nobody gets away with anything. I want you to know that. Nobody gets away with anything. I used to say that after the OJ trial. You know, nobody gets away with anything. He did not live this stellar life afterwards. And unless he repented, he's not doing well now. Okay, nobody gets away with anything. In God's economy. Never do. You don't see what's going on in their home life. You don't know what's going on with them personally every day. You have no idea the misery that God has allowed to come their way because the verdict did not go the correct way. You have no idea. On the outside, they might be laughing, look like they're living it up, they're rich, they got away with it. Nobody gets away with anything. Every despot that's ever lived, they seem to live a long life. But how are they doing now? Not too well. You know, every despot that you could think of did so many tragedies here on this world. I understand that. They're not doing good today. See, this is the reason why if you don't believe in God, man, you got a messed up system. How is justice ever going to be served? But if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe God created the heavens and the earth, even when unjust things happen here, you know on the other side is where God makes all things right. And when you walk with God and you receive God's Son of salvation, Jesus Christ, guess what? Doesn't matter what you go through here on this earth, it's not even worthy to be compared with what you have coming. It's going to be awesome. And it doesn't matter how much you profited here on this earth and denied Christ. Guess what? You have no idea the justice that's coming your way the moment you die and face a righteous God. Nobody gets away with anything. Leave it to God. It's not fair. No, it's not fair here. And you know what? It's not fair on the other side either because you get way more than all the stuff that you went through here. I'm not looking for fair. I'm looking towards my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 2, Peter says the same thing. Therefore, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Whether to the king as supreme or to the governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good, they are God's instrument of being the avenger. They are. Now, we do not have the right as a church to carry out penalties for evildoers. But we do as a church still call sin, sin. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Go over here. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, adultery is taking place in the church. It says in verse 1 of chapter 5, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you. Such sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles. Those who don't even know God don't do this. Well, what's going on? That a man has his father's wife. Ew. Even the Gentiles don't do that. And yet that's happening in the church. And you're puffed up. Oh, I don't want to judge. You know, I'm that kind of a Christian. Oh, I don't want to judge. I don't want to call sin, sin. You know, and so again, it's truth in love. Okay, it's not just love and you tolerate everything. And it's not just truth that you're cruel with pointing out everything that's wrong. Okay, it's truth in love. And so there's a loving way to be able to go to those people and say, hey, what you're doing is wrong, it's gross, it's disgusting, it's sin, and so you need to repent. Well, who are you to judge me? Well, I'm this person judge you. We're part of the flock here. And guess what? Through the leadership here, you can no longer come here until you repent. We will excommunicate you for doing that. And that's what they do, and that's what Paul says to do. He says, you're puffed up. You're acting so tolerant and loving. And have not mourned, seen the seriousness of this, that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you, excommunicated. For indeed, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have already judged, as though I was present, him who has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. So, you excommunicate the person because they're not repentant. Say, okay, if you want to act worldly, gross, and disgusting, then you could be out in the world under Satan's care. And it ain't going to go well with them. And hopefully, by doing that, they will repent. They will repent. That his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they do repent. And 2 Corinthians talks about that, that they need to now receive them back because they are truly repentant. Awesome. Then it had the desired effect of what it should. But guess what? It's still called sin. But we don't take them out and stone them or exact capital punishment. That was the law. We're not under the law. But Dave, the commandments, that's also law. Yeah, but murder was spoken of before that. This is a rule for all of mankind, not just the Jews. Too much is given, much is required. And so under that dispensation and under that theocracy of God, yeah, if you're going to do some of these things, you are to be executed because of that. Because too much is given, much is required. Well, guess what? You don't have that anymore. So you're not under that anymore. But it's still sin. It's still sin. Paul would affirm that there's actions still worthy of death. He says in Acts chapter 25, as he defends himself before Festus, it says in verse 10, so Paul said, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged to the Jews. I have done no wrong, as you very well know. For if I'm an offender or have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. Even Paul agreed there are offenses worthy of death that the governing authorities have the right to carry out. But Dave, aren't we supposed to love the sinner? We are. And when people say that, I said, but you forgot the first part. That's the second of the greatest commandment. The first is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. You cannot love the sinner without first truly loving God, or you're not really loving the sinner. Okay? And you love God by carrying out what his word says above how you feel for the sinner. Eyes not to pity. Okay? And the best way for you to love the sinner is first loving God and pointing out their sin and what it is that they really do deserve if they murdered someone. They deserve death. They deserve death. Dave, do we have an example in Scripture of where you have someone who is loving God first and is affirming the death penalty for murder, and yet through that also loving the sinner? Yes. It's my favorite place to go to when I discuss this. Go to Luke chapter 23. Jesus on the cross between two criminals who committed murder, hence why capital punishment is being exacted on them. Here in verse 39 of chapter 23, Jesus is hanging on the cross. The two criminals, one on the right, one on the left. It says, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, We deserve capital punishment. We deserve to be crucified, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. We know that they are part of Barabbas's rebellion. And in that rebellion, people died, were killed, were murdered in that insurrection, in that rebellion. And these were guys who were with Barabbas. So they participated in that murder of other people during the insurrection. So they deserve capital punishment, okay? This guy knows he deserves capital punishment. He even says so here. And yet, even though he knows he needs to die for what it is he says, he then turns to Jesus and says to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." See, this is what it's supposed to do. When you are faced with your mortality, that you know you're going to die, it should bring you to a place of, are you right before God? I wonder where I go when I die. And it brought this guy to that place, and he didn't know what to do, but he reaches out to Jesus and says, "Remember me when you get to your kingdom." He's thinking about life after death, which is exactly what the death penalty is supposed to do, capital punishment. It is supposed to bring you face to face to mortality, that you're thinking about what happens after life after death, and that it should bring you to the place where you cry out to God. And that's exactly what he does. And what does God do? Jesus says to him, "Surely I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." What? Capital punishment had its blessed ending of what all capital punishment should lead to, but yet it doesn't, because there's another criminal and we don't see him reaching out. Both are faced with the exact same thing. Both are being faced with mortality. One reaches out to God and is met. And guess what? Your sin is forgiven and you're going to be with me for all of eternity. And the other one, we don't know. We don't know. Because maybe after this, he kind of saw a guy reach out and the person who's calling himself the Christ, the Messiah, reaches back and says, "You'll be with me forever." Maybe that precipitated in him to want to now reach out to God as well. We don't know. My hope is that both the criminals are up there in heaven. That later on, as he sees his demise, he saw what his friend did, and now maybe he cries out to God later on. I hope that's the case. But if not, what a stark reality. There are some who will never bow the knee. And there's others that will at the moment of death. They're being faced with death. Dave, if we take them off this earth now and we do the death penalty, maybe later on they would have given their life, Lord. You know what? If you're faced with death and you're not crying out to God, then you're not going to cry out to God for any reason. And yet this is what we have here. Acts 2:21, "It shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's what that penitent thief did. Romans 10:13, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Someone once asked me about Galatians 3:13, where it says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So if redeemed, I'm no longer a murderer." You're no longer a murderer if you ask God for forgiveness. If you receive Jesus and ask God for forgiveness, guess what? You're no longer a murderer. Then why am I killed? Because you're no longer a murderer before God. You're still a murderer before society. There's still consequences to your sin. You can be forgiven of your sin, but that doesn't mean the consequences go away. You know? And so before society, you're not redeemed. And you don't need to be redeemed before society. You want to be redeemed before God. Because that's where we're talking about eternity in that case. Carla Faye Tucker, one of my favorite examples. She's in the book Redeemed, Unredeemable. I've mentioned that book before. It's one of my favorite books about all these people that did horrendous, horrendous murders and butchery, and how some of them came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Redeemed, Unredeemable. It's a fantastic book. One of them is by name of Carla Faye Tucker. Carla was an accomplice, had an accomplice, and had committed two horrible murders with a pickaxe. That's going to be bloody, and that's going to be messy. Okay? She was 23, high on drugs at the time. Right after she went to jail, a pastor visited her, led her to the saving knowledge of Jesus. From that time on, she led an exemplary life and demonstrated a changed life and her Christian faith in prison. How awesome. Many prayed for her, and her execution date was set for February 3rd, 1998. However, the state of Texas carried out its law to execute murderers, and Carla was not granted clemency. We are asked in the Bible to forgive Carla no matter what she's done, and that's true. If you cannot forgive others, God cannot forgive you. We're called to forgive. And so we can forgive, but again, still consequences. Her last word were as follows. To the families of those she murdered, she said this, "I am so sorry. I hope God will give you peace with this." To her family, she said, "Baby, I love you. Ron, give Peggy a hug for me. Everybody has been so good to me. I love all of you very much. I'm going to be face to face with Jesus now." To the warden, she said, "Warden Baguette, thank all of you so much. You have been so good to me. I love you all very much. I will see you all when you get there. I will wait for you." This does not sound to some like someone who is trying to fight being put to death. This doesn't sound like someone who thinks that she's being treated unfairly because she asked God for forgiveness. She's forgiven. Why can't other people forgive? She's not doing that. She understands. She took lives and she murdered people. And she understands that was horrible and it has its consequences. But she also understands God has forgiven her. And she's about to see Jesus face to face. In an interview with the 700 Club, Carla said this, "I asked God to forgive me. I knew I needed forgiveness. And I knew I had done some really horrible things. But I think right at that moment, what hit me most was His love. His love just surrounded me. He just put His arms around me and said, 'I love you.'" My purpose for this interview is that lives would be saved, that lives would be touched, that people would just come to know that no matter where they were, He could touch them, He could change their life. Should Carla not have been granted clemency since she was no longer a threat to society? In fact, the opposite was true. She would probably have been a blessing to society. She's touched many people's lives in prison. They too were changed for the better. We know God is a forgiving God, and we as His children must be forgiving also. But does God's word address cases such as Carla Faye? Yes. Still needs to be carried out. We understand that for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that happened with her. Jesus, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. And she is right now. That has been happening. Carla was repented of her sins, accepted Christ as her Savior. She could face death unafraid, and she did. Because she knew only her body would die. And that was still required of the consequence of what she did. So I do personally believe that capital punishment is for day. I don't think that you can make a case from the Bible that it is not. Should it be reformed? I'm all on that committee. I'm all over that. Let's see how we can make it right. That's for sure. Okay? But until we make it right, it shouldn't be removed. And it is right now. But I think that capital punishment is absolutely for today, as I've shown you here this morning. So let's pray. Let nothing ever separate us.
Thanks for spending part of your Tuesday with us on Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. We'll be back tomorrow to continue our study through the book of Exodus. Don't miss it. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at a new time of 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise Ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. Thank you for tuning in to this radio station today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.